Good afternoon, First Baptist. I hope that you have had a good Lord's Day. I hope Sunday morning was good for you and your family time, a good week. We're back in school, and in a lot of different ways, my children are actually in school in Hardin County, and some here, but pray for the teachers, pray for the students, pray for the parents. I guess parents are under more pressure now than ever in school. And so pray for families that our kids will be taken care of and families taken care of, and help them in a special time. We are in that in an awkward time as we try to figure out things on the fly, and I pray that what will happen will be a blessing and protect us and grow us in this kingdom. I want to talk about a subject matter that's pretty important to me. I did my undergraduate years ago in psychology. I did a lot of work in counseling, and it was a blessing for me. It was difficult at times, but I learned some things about shame and what shame is, and I want to explain some of that to you, and how the Bible says how to overcome shame in our lives. So, I will say this: guilt is something we all deal with. And guilt will bring us to shame. It does. It shames us. It does the part. But when your life is so been shamed all your life, guilt owns you until you were forgiven. So when we make a mistake, we find ourselves in guilty. But there are people who never get out of it. They live in shame. A mistake, God comes, brings guilt. We find forgiveness. Shame is, I am a mistake. It passes on to where it destroys our inners and our abilities to do everything we can for anybody. So guilt is, I made a mistake. Shame is, I've become a mistake. So I want to help us overcome that. You may be in that situation and not even know it. Maybe locked down and all those things happen in your life, but I want to help you. I want to talk about a sad commentary about church and people going to church. I read several years ago, I'm trying to think of the author, but he says that Sunday is people come to church and see God as a helper. He comes and take care of our needs. Then when we don't need him, we're done for a while until we need him again. Church just becomes God as a helper to them. But let me just share the best part about God. He's a lot more than a helper. He's a changer. He's a fixer. And so if you only cry out to God when you need help, I just want you to learn how to cry out to God every day of your life and for him to help you in a very special way to make us strong. Jesus is more than a helper. He changed our life. He gives us new attitudes. He gives us new actions. And he gives us brand new ambitions. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. When we come to Christ comes in our life, we're born again. We're born spiritually alive. And he's inside of us to work a work, to work a work to the part where we present him more than us. So he come to overcome that. We're new creatures. All things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. And so our past lives, our past journeys, man, God gives us a brand new start. So I want to help us to think about that. I want to talk about how much change God comes, and when that change comes, how it overcomes our past. And works are working my life. My phone's ringing. I need to hang that up. There we go. See if I not miss a link. All right. That's my phone. But highly recommend you bring your phones to church Sunday and turn them off as you see. But anyway, I won't let it stop me. Today I want to help us the power of change and how to overcome. And overcome shame in our lives specifically. And where it comes from and how it works in our lives. We have all kinds of emotional baggage in our life. And I want to help us to find a way for God to do work in that. I want to teach us how shame works, the difference between guilt and shame. I want to help us to where it comes from, and I want to help us to overcome it, how shame works. You know, we've all embarrassed ourselves. We've all said things we shouldn't have said. We've all been a part of something we shouldn't have been a part of, and sometimes by accident or sometimes by on purpose. But we have felt shame. We have felt like, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. That was just wrong. That was awkward. That was a mistake. So we all deal with shame some level or another. And so we embarrass ourselves with it. But when we come into the part of our life, when shame becomes an embarrassment, it's one thing. But when shame takes over a life, it's another thing. So I want to help you then. I want to tell you about shame And I use this parallel of life is a mirror. And we receive a reflection of our mirror as we travel through life. And I know I do. Sometimes I don't realize it, but it really is. So because of our lives that people don't receive us, when you walk in a room and you just want to be accepted, you want to be liked. And if you're not liked, people don't talk to you, or you feel like that you're getting a little paranoid and people are talking about you. I know all that, how it works. When we get low, the devil knows how to beat us up. Now, shame, that mirror. You know, when I was growing up as a little boy, I was picked on a lot. I was never, you know, when they bring the teams together, they pick you to play. I was always the last one. I stood there by myself every time. And man, it just didn't make me feel good, but I was glad to be on the team. You know, when you walk into a crowd and they don't recognize you, or they don't encourage you, or they don't look at you at school, anywhere you may go in a crowd, it's kind of painful. People just don't respond. See, it's kind of like a mirror. We're always want to be accepted. We're always want to be there. But when people just kind of reject us, man, it kind of hurts. It always hurts. Those situations come in our life. I remember back in the school days when I was little, we used to have cooties. You know, it was, they were just had something wrong with them. They didn't want to be around them. You know, they were just, they just seemed like they were infected with something. So they used to call me cooties. He asked cooties, leave him alone. What all that meant, I really don't know then. I don't know now. But it was just a slang that kind of hurt me. Now, we don't feel measured up, and sometimes it hurts. Sometimes in life, we're too short. Sometimes we're too tall. Sometimes we're fat. Sometimes we're skinny. Sometimes we got pimples. You know, you go to a amusement park, and I've done this many times, an amusement park, they'll have that mirrors. And you walk up this mirror, and you stand there, and you can walk up this mirror, and it makes you 12 feet tall. You're just really tall. And you walk up this mirror, it makes you kind of short and fat. And so sometimes in the mirrors of life, we see ourselves as people see us, and it hurts us a lot. So life kind of can deform us. Life can kind of put us in a box. Life can sometimes belittle us. It happens. It's called bullying today. People are mirrors. When people respond to us, it's important to us. You know, you don't have to have a psychology degree to know if people like you or not. You can tell in just in short order. If people just don't have anything to say to you, and that mirror, we just keep seeing that, and sometimes it hurts us. You know, one of the hardest things I had in ministry, I still have in ministry, is the rejection. Man, there's some people that want to shake your hand, and there's some people who don't. It's wherever you go. In ministry as a pastor, it's hard. It's hard to, number one, you can't please everybody. Jesus couldn't do it. Nobody can do it. Can't make everybody happy. But see, some people take it personal. Matter of fact, I preach a sermon Sunday, and it was a pretty tough sermon preached on religion and politics. That ought to be a pretty tough sermon. And I mentioned John F. Kennedy as the first president of the United States of America. We see he was Catholic in that dilemma. I get a call, says, Brother Ron, I want to tell you, why did you bring up John F. Kennedy? I think blah, blah, blah about him. I said, ma'am, I did not say anything good or bad about John F. Kennedy. All I said was John F. Kennedy was a Catholic. And America had a hard time accepting that, and it was up for vote. But see, there's people always picking everything I say apart. Some of it needs to be picked apart, to be honest with you. But be careful how you do it, and be careful how we do one another. So see, those mirrors are very powerful. Somebody has to help us. And you know, I know this. When you shame somebody, you can get to them a lot. The other day, I was with kids, and they were standing on the shore of Lake Michigan, and it was ice cold. I said, come on, man, let's jump in there. Let's go. They said, no, wait. I said, man, you can do it. Everybody, look at everybody else in there. They can do it, and they're doing it. You can do it. They wouldn't do it. I said, I'll tell you what. I'll give the first one a dollar who jumps in there. Nobody jumped in there. Then I said, you're a chicken if you don't do it. And all of them jumped. When you challenge them and you make slurs and kind of shame them, they responded. They jumped all in the lake together. Sometimes we use shame to motivate people. It never works very well. Now, how does shame come from the outside forces of our life? They're there, and all the public viewing, all those things can happen in our life that continue to hurt us in a very special way. But I want to talk about shame in the Bible, how it can destroy you, and what it does and how it works. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 8, 9, and 10, I want to talk about when shame become a part of Adam and Eve's life. It started right with sin. Sin will cause shame in our lives to happen also regularly. In verse 8, inside shame. And they heard the sound of the Lord come walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees in the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "You told me that you were naked, and you have eaten from the tree of life. I command you, you should not eat." Whenever they sinned and ate of that forbidden fruit, the shame was they tried to hide themselves from God. They felt that shame. Jesus, God knew what he knew why they were hiding, because they had sinned. Shame will take us and cause us in a very special way. It's kind of natural. You're supposed to be. You know, when you have broken the laws and maybe it goes public and your picture gets on TV or something, man, shame is a part of that. It's a shameful thing, unless you're mentally unbalanced. But if you're balanced, shame is very powerful. It hurts. So sin brings shame into our lives. It all hurts us in very special ways. Realize, the disciples, when they were with Jesus, they had to overcome the shame. Now, when Jesus begins to work in our lives, I want to share with you in Proverbs. It talks about how sin brings shame into our lives. In Proverbs chapter 11, I want to go and share that with you today. And I want to give you a couple points of how shame began to work in their lives and what it began to do in their lives. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. "For look, the wicked bend their bow, but they make their arrows ready on the string, for they shot secretly at the upright in the heart." He began to do a work into their lives. And all of a sudden, God began to do this work, and God began to bless them and help them in a very special way. But they couldn't find their way. The arrow didn't hit the part, and things weren't exactly where it needed to be. Now, let me just share with you. It says, "When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom." When pride comes, then comes shame. See, my pride will bring shame. Humility brings wisdom. We're going to talk a little bit more about that Sunday morning. We talked about it last Sunday morning. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, let me read that to you. "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. But she who causes shame is rots his bones." Pretty plain. "Encouraging wife, encouraging husband makes a big difference in a relationship." Chapter 13, verse 5. "A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame." You know, when you're caught in a lie, that's a shameful moment. And to be shamed publicly is a tough time. Shame is a very much part of our lives when we are sinning. When we're sinning, shame seems to overcome us and helps us in so many ways. In verse 18, "Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards reproof will be honored." Poverty and shame will come to those who despise rejection, correction. And so, shame is a part of our lives because of sin. Adam and Eve felt it. They tried to hide from God. Can you remember the day before that happened? Jesus and Adam and Eve met in the garden in perfect love, perfect harmony. And all of a sudden, sin comes in their life, and they seen themselves naked, and God knew shame had done took them over. He knew they already sinned. See, sin brings shame to our lives. See, the outward people who don't receive us or reject us or bully us will make us shameful, but the inside sin produces shame. It's a part of our life that is so hard to deal with in many areas of our lives. I just want to help you to understand how God wants to bless us and bring about a special way in our lives so we can become what He wants us to be instead of what shame tries to do to our lives. In Hebrews, I want to read in chapter 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Man, I know that He had a lot on that day to do as He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross, despising the shame. There was no more shameful way to die publicly than a cross. You know, in Israel in those days, they said there would be over 100 crosses lined up all the way down the street. And many times that day, there would be 100 people on those crosses. The most shameful way. It shamed their families. It shamed them. But He says He despised the shame. Man, He was. They looked at Him and He said, I'm not going to take the shame. I'm going to fight it off. Despising the shame of all that He went through in His life. Can you imagine? All that He went through, enduring the cross, despising the shame, and God was there to help Him to get through it. Webster says shame is a scorn. It's a low opinion of. It's detest. No more shameful way to die. But Jesus was willing to be shamed, His body in full disarray, pain and suffering, as a lowly criminal. He despised that shame. And He was still there to work out a work in their lives and Christ to do that work in their lives. Just like in the garden, sometimes the reason why we can't witness, reason why we can't go to church, reason why we don't be seen, because we feel shame. You know, here's what I know. I've been able to pastor for a long time, seen a lot, experienced a lot. I tell people when they get out and they get away from church, I keep telling people it's just not as easy as sometimes you think to come back. But you know what brings them back? A crisis. A crisis works wonderfully. God doesn't cause crises, but He'll use them. Because see, there's so much shame in their life. You know, maybe I preach on a Sunday morning about this or that, and it may be they're part of this or that. And they always feel like, you know, man, it just made me feel so bad. Well, the reason why we preach about it, because God can cleanse us and make us feel so good, overcome shame, despising the shame, asking God for forgiveness. And so I don't know what it'll take for us to come back into worship in America, but we're in the biggest crisis we've ever been in. That ought to drive us to prayer. Ought to drive us to any way we can to get to worship and to be strong in the power of His might. I realize there's a lot of people that shouldn't be here. There's a lot of people who can't be here because of obvious reasons. But I'm going to tell you what. For those who can choose not, shame on us. Shame on us. Because there was a God who despised the shame, stood there in front of the whole world, and let them laugh at Him, stripped Him off nude, beat Him, stuck Him, laughed, but He despised that. He put it off so we could come and worship Him regularly. So I want to encourage you that we can be what Christ wants us to be. In the garden, when they couldn't come to Christ because of that shame was in their lives, everything was against them. And God come to say, I'm more than a helper. I'm a changer. I can put clothes back on you, Adam and Eve. I'll actually kill an animal on your behalf. I will shed blood so you can stand before me again. I will cover your nakedness so we can be back in fellowship again. And God shed blood for the sins of Adam and Eve, as Jesus gave His blood for all of mankind. And so see, He wants to relieve that shame. Shirley Jones last Tuesday night or Thursday night sang a song, I'll Not Be Ashamed. It was a wonderful, wonderful song. And when she sang that, it just encouraged me in a very special way. And I want to share that. You know, all that God done in our lives, all he wants to do in our lives, Paul in the book of Romans, I want you to get this. I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks. God had somehow or another, just the Gentiles weren't seeking God, but God was seeking them. And God came after them with his love, and they preached the message, and their hearts were pierced, and many changed by faith. But the Jews had a hard time with that. Now, at Pentecost, Peter was preaching. And these men of God were standing there. And let me share with you. When you're in the middle of Jerusalem and Rome, in the biggest cities of the world, preaching the gospel, there was a lot of hostility. They hated you for that. Read the book of Acts. They imprisoned people for that. They hurt people from that. But Paul says, he says in chapter 1 of the book of Romans, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of this. You will bully me. You will, as I look at you in your outside mirrors, you're rejecting me, you're booing me, you're laughing at me, you're condemning me. I will reject that mirror. I won't take it. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The power of God and salvation, everyone believes. They try to lighten the load for the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. Jews, we're not alienating you. The law is alienating you. God's love by grace wants to receive you. For the Jew first, then the Gentiles. I'll not be ashamed. You know, what keeps us from witnessing? What keeps us from doing the right things for Christ? We got a big election coming up. And this is, I just heard this the other day and I looked it up. And so, 1 out of 5 Christians vote. 1 out of 5 across America. That's Republican, Democrat, Independent. Only 1 out of 5 Christians vote. We ought to be ashamed of that. America, God give it to us. As I talked about the other day about politics, Democrat, Republican, I don't care. And the reason I don't care, because we got a God to talk to and a God to help us make those decisions. It's not a Republican platform or Democrat platform. It's the Holy Spirit to lead us as Christians. If Christians would just stand up for Christ and do the right things in our daily walk in America, things are different. So I just want to encourage you to think about, as a Christian, can you let your light shine? Last Sunday night I talked about turning that light on. Is it on? Let it shine in the civil world today and all the unrest that's coming. Let it shine. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest news ever told. It's a greater benefit in your life. And let me share this with you. The love of that gospel and the God who wrote it and saved you will help you to walk through that shame that you may feel. So you can. Why did they say, I will not be ashamed of the gospel? Because they were challenging them. See, get this. Light and darkness do not blend. Whenever light and darkness come together, there's always conflict. It always battles. That's the reason why I really believe that when you marry a mate, you should be all of the same. You should be a believer. Because as a Christian and a non-Christian, your light and your darkness is always at odds. It's a battle. Man, whenever you turn on a light switch in darkness, that light fights that darkness. It runs it out. And so when we are powered with God through his glory and his help, as Adam and Eve was in the garden, aren't you glad that God came and killed an animal and covered them to take care of their shame? Aren't you glad that Christ died on the cross, despising the shame, so we can become part of his? And don't let the shame stop us from doing what he wants us to do, because greater is he that lives with us who lives within the world. We must be engaged in our communities. We must be engaged in our churches. And dads, we better get engaged in our families. Man, we're needed more than ever in our lives. Psalm 17. I just want to share that Psalms as I close. In Psalms chapter 17, in verse 8, it talks about how God helps us. In verse 8, it says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Let me tell you something. The apple of the eye of God is his children. You know, when my children and my grandchildren come into my house, it's the apple of my eye. And Christian, why be ashamed? Because the God of the universe, you're the apple of his eye. You're the apple of his eye. You're the most important part of his life. He died. He didn't die so America can have billions of dollars and big houses and fast cars. He died so we can be forgiven of our sins. And I'll not be ashamed of the gospel. It changed me. It blessed me. It makes me what I am. Never be ashamed of the gospel, for he's the apple of his eye. He will hide me in the shadow of his wings. You know, the old chickens. When I was a little boy down the country, my grandparents, them old chickens, little bitty baby chickens, that old mama get on there and she just cover her little chicks and protect them. The Bible says, he'll keep his apple of eye. He will hide me under the shadows of your wings. From the wicked who oppress me, from the deadly enemies who surround me, they have closed up their fat hearts, and with their mouth they speak loudly. They have now sounded us in steps, used us in steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth. But I want you to know, don't be ashamed. God, we're the apple of his eye. His forgiveness is phenomenal. His grace is greater than our sins. Romans 5:20, I think it's, you know what really hurts God? I think this hurts him more than we ever think about. He died on a cross, despised and ashamed, died, gave his life, humiliated to the very bottoms of everybody. He died to forgive my sins. And if you think your sin is so great that you can't come back to God, that must hurt his feelings. Because see, his grace is greater than our sins. When God died on the cross, there's no one has that excuse that can't come to God because his grace, his love is there. He told Pharaoh that he hardened his heart, but here's what happened. Pharaoh rejected God, rejected God, rejected God. Here's how this works. When sin shines on clay, the more it shines, the harder it gets. And God kept trying to pierce his clay. His old heart was so hardened. God says, Pharaoh, it's over, man. You went too far. But I want to share with you. God is merciful and graceful to forgive all of our sins if you could just humble yourself and ask it. Pride will destroy you and take you to hell. Take you to hell. Don't hide from God. Look in his eye. He will lend our shame. His love empowers us and positions us to be his light in a dark world. I hope this message will encourage you. I know our guilt is real because we're sinners. I know that we feel shame, but don't let the outside mirrors shame you. And don't let the inside sins bring shame. Because guilt is, I made a mistake. Shame is, I become a mistake. I worked with a lady for about 3 years, one time in counseling. Horrible things have taken place in her life. She had so many things, and I just continue to love and try to help her. So one day I said, are you ready to take a step forward? She said, Brother Ron, I've been here a long time. This has helped me. I have so much shame. I can't look in the mirror. I feel so bad. I can't look in the mirror. I never thought shame could be that bad, but I listened to her cry as a shame. She became shame. And all I could do is continue to ask her for God's grace and forgiveness and the Holy Spirit in her life. About 3 years later, I ran across her at Walmart. You run across everybody at Walmart. And she walked up and hugged my neck. She says, Brother Rob, I've been set free. The shame that you helped me understand is no longer in my life. God changed me. He wasn't there just to help me. He was there to change me. That's what God can do with our shame. And may he do it in your life and your children's lives. They're now back in school. There's always a pecking order in them classrooms. Well, the classrooms in your living room right now in some places. But I pray that the shame of the world, as they mirror the outside response of people in our lives, will never throw them away. And we'll be able to receive them and love them through it. And may God forgive us. And may our shame be covered by the cross and the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Father, we need your help. We need your forgiveness. Father, we need your glory to come. Too many people on this earth that you've died for to save, and Father, never have come over the shame maybe of their life, their lifestyle, or what they did or used to do. God, let them know that your grace abounds more than sin ever could. Let them walk free. Let them walk with their head in the air. Let them find the redemption in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I preach this message in jail a lot because jail has a lot of shame. But it's no different in a Baptist church. Shame and sin is there. May God set us free. God bless you.